It was the Septuagint, the early Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, that translated Tzara'at, the condition whose identification and cleansing occupies much of Tazria and Metzora, as lepra, giving rise to a long tradition of identifying it with leprosy. That tradition is now widely acknowledged to be incorrect. Firstly, the condition described in the Torah simply doesn't fit the symptoms of leprosy. Second, the Torah applies it not only to various skin conditions, but also to mildew on clothes and the walls of houses, which certainly rules out any known disease. The Rambam put it best. Tzara'at, he says, is a comprehensive term covering a number of dissimilar conditions. Thus, whiteness in a person's skin is called tzara'at. The falling off of some of his hair on the head or the chin is called tzara'at. A change of color in garments or in houses is called tzara'at. So, seeking to identify the nature of this phenomenon that covers so many different conditions, the sages sought for clues elsewhere in the Torah, and they found them readily available. Miriam was smitten by tzara'at for speaking badly about her brother Moses, and the Torah later gave special emphasis to the event, seeing it as a warning for all future generations. Be careful with regard to the plague of tzara'at. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam along the way after you came out from Egypt. It was, in other words, not a normal phenomenon, but a specific divine punishment for what Miriam did. Speak lashon hara, evil speech. The rabbis drew attention to a verbal similarity between mitzora, a person afflicted with tzara'at, and motzi shem ra, someone guilty of slander. And the Rambam, on the basis of rabbinic traditions, gives a brilliant account of why tzara'at afflicted both inanimate objects like walls and clothes, and also human beings. This is what he says. It, tzara'at, was a sign and wonder among the Israelites to warn them against slanderous speaking. For if a man uttered slander, the walls of his house would suffer a change. If he repented, then the house would become clean. But if he continued in his wickedness until the house was torn down, leather objects on which he sat or lay would suffer a change. If he repented, they would again become clean. But if he continued in his wickedness until they were burned, the garments which he wore would suffer a change. And if he repented, they would again become clean. But if he continued in his wickedness until the garments were burned, his skin would suffer a change, and he would become infected by tzara'at and be set apart and alone until he no more engaged in the conversation of the wicked, which is scoffing and slander. To my mind, the most compelling illustration of what the Torah is talking about in Jewish tradition when it speaks about the gravity of motzi shem ra, slander, and lashon hara, evil speech, is Shakespeare's tragedy Othello. Iago, a high-ranking soldier, is bitterly resentful of Othello, a Moorish general in the army of Venice. Othello had promoted a younger man, Cassio, over the more experienced Iago, who is determined to take revenge. He does so in a prolonged and vicious whispering campaign, which involves, among other things, tricking Othello into the suspicion that his wife, Desdemona, is having an adulterous affair with Cassio. Othello asks Iago to kill Cassio, and he himself kills Desdemona, smothering her in her bed. Emilia, Iago's wife and Desdemona's attendant, discovers her mistress dead, and as Othello explains why he's killed her, realizes the plot that her husband has been weaving and exposes it. Othello, in guilt and grief, commits suicide, while Iago is arrested and taken to be tortured and possibly executed. It's a play entirely about the evil of slander and suspicion. And it portrays absolutely literally what the sages said figuratively, that evil speech kills three people. The one who says it, in our case Iago, the one who listens to it, Othello, and the one about whom it is said, Desdemona. Shakespeare's tragedy makes it painfully clear how much evil speech lives in the dark corners of suspicion. Had the others known what Iago was saying to stir up fear and distrust, the facts might have become known, well, they would have become known, and the tragedy would have been averted. As it was, he was able to mislead the various characters, playing on their emotional weaknesses, their fears, their envy, getting each to believe the worst about one another. It ends in serial bloodshed and disaster. Hence the poetic justice that Jewish tradition attributes to one of the least poetic of all biblical passages, the laws relating to skin diseases and mildew. The slanderer spreads his lies in private, but his evils are exposed in public. First, the walls of his house proclaim his sin, then the leather objects on which he sits, then his clothes, eventually his skin itself. And then he is condemned to the humiliation of having to live in isolation. He must call out, "Unclean, unclean," and since he is unclean, he must remain alone, and his place shall be outside the camp. Said the rabbis, because his words separated husband and wife, and brother and brother, his punishment is that he is separated from human contact and made an outcast from society. At its highest, WikiLeaks aims at being today's functional equivalent of the law of the Metzorah, an attempt to make public the discreditable things people do and say in private. The sages said about evil speech that it was as bad as idolatry, incest, and murder combined. It was Shakespeare's genius to show us one dramatic way in which it can contaminate human relationships, turning people against one another with tragic consequences. Never say or do in private what you would be ashamed to read about on the front page of tomorrow's newspapers. That's the basic theme of the law of Tzara'at, updated to today. Shabbat Shalom.